Let's turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 32. Luke 12, verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
The men who lead singing here at Westside almost always give an awful lot of
the sermons and make sure that the song service and the lessons really go well to make our worship even more cohesive and God-honoring. Scott could not have led a better song prior to the sermon. I do not recall the last time we sang that song at Westside, and I've got a pretty good memory. But whiter than snow it is in some of our songbooks, older ones, that was the title. And it's certainly a great song for our study tonight and for the Lord's Supper meditation earlier as we thought about what Jesus has done. I love to talk to people about studying God's Word, and tonight and next Sunday night, Lord willing, both lessons, though somewhat abbreviated, will be lessons to encourage you in your study of God's Word. It is amazing how many different ways one can preach. There can be an awful lot of variety in preaching. For example, let me just give you some ideas, and all of these are applicable to studying God's Word on a personal level. You may study a topic. Through the years, all of us have heard topics preached that blessed us immeasurably. How about the undenominational nature of the church? How about the necessity of baptism? Someone might talk about the meaning of baptism, the purpose of baptism, the subjects of baptism, the mode of baptism. It's an immersion. You think about subjects. That's a great way to study the Bible. You can study a subject like sin, and then you can look at different words for sin, like evil or trespass, etc. Subjects. Who hasn't been blessed from that type of preaching? We can also be blessed with that type of study individually. Then you can study the Bible book by book, chapter for chapter, verse by verse. It can really be fascinating, and you'll always learn to do that. And sometimes when you're preaching, a person's preaching, they'll preach through an entire book. I've done that here with you on a number of occasions. Adam has done the same with various portions of Scripture. It can be a valuable way to study. But between the chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse account and the topical account, there is a textual approach. Here is where one or two verses, at the most, maybe three, are taken. And what this approach does that's so beneficial is, when you do a textual approach of one or two or three verses, the main points will come out of the text that you're studying, and yet you will go elsewhere in Scripture to find supplemental corroborating passages. I like to think of textual preaching and textual study as a hybrid that combines, you know, if you're studying a subject like the New Testament church, you're looking at a lot of passages because there's a lot of passages concerning the worship of the church, the organization of the church, etc. How to get into the church, terms of entrance. See, there's all kinds of information. So, Troy, you're going to be looking at an awful lot of passages. And think of it as a shotgun approach. Well, when you're looking at chapter by chapter, verse by verse, throughout a book, it's a lot more thorough, but sometimes by the time you get to the end, you can't see the forest for all the trees. Textual preaching allows us to see what is being said in a passage and how it connects. So it's a hybrid that kind of offers the best of topical study, but also offers some of the best of looking at something more thoroughly. Let's focus on one verse. You guessed it. Luke 12 and verse 32. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. And looking at this one verse, you will be astounded by how much can be observed. This can be a really insightful way to study. The very first thing that Jesus says is, "Fear not. Do not be afraid." So this passage begins with a command. A command. And when you are looking at matters contextually, in this particular part of Luke, he's talking about worry. And so, in connection with all the things that may worry us, he says, don't be afraid, don't worry. Keep looking at the passage as we break it down. A description is given. After a command, don't be afraid, don't fear, don't worry, contextually, he says, little flock. That's an awfully tender term when you think about it biblically. Little flock. Focus on the passage with me again. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. For it's your Father's good pleasure. Motive. Motivation should matter to us. It matters to God that we have good motivation. It is your Father's good pleasure. And then notice, to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. That's the purpose. That's His plan. He's saying this to His followers. He's done this for us as Christians. One of the things that is so important in Bible study is seeing what a passage says about God. Some people are really good at finding doctrine and maybe using Scripture as ammo, as ammunition, to deal with religious error, and there will always be a purpose that Scripture has for that. But really, the primary purpose of Scripture is to reveal God and how awesome He is it not? And it's possible to use Scripture and to forget about it being mainly a revelation about God and how we can have an eternal relationship with Him. Now let's focus on Luke 12 here and verse 32 and what it says about God. May I offer this? This passage deals with at least six designations for God. One verse, six designations for God. You look at the idea of fear not. Why? Because God is our protector and defender. That's why. What worry could you and I possibly have that is bigger and stronger than our protector and defender? I need to keep that in mind, don't you? I suspect we all do. Keep looking at the passage. Secondly, the passage says God is our shepherd. Fear not, do not be afraid, little flock. The implication is if we are part of the little flock, He is our shepherd. The good shepherd, John chapter 10. The great shepherd, Hebrews chapter 13. The chief shepherd, 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice what I'm doing. I'm going elsewhere that builds on this subject of God as shepherd. How about Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, I shall not lack. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. See God in the passage and be amazed. Be awestruck. Third, God is our Father. In most translations, it says your Father. Your Father. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. You know what that means? It means we can be God's children. Not only His flock, but His children. Brother Bill, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8, 16 and 17. Behold what manner of love the Father has given that we can be called the children of God, and such we are, 1 John 3 and verse 1. It is through the unique person of Jesus, God the Son, that we all can become children of God. He can be our Father, your Father and mine. Number four, look at the passage. God is our benefactor. God is our benefactor. His good pleasure. Mark it. He's our benefactor. God always has our best interest in view. Our eternal interest in view. He is the one who blesses every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. No condemnation to those that are in Christ. Romans 8, verse 1, more than conquerors we are through Him who loved us. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Look at the passage again. Just looking at what it says and how it reflects God. Notice that it indicates this. Number 5, God is generous and gracious. It's seen in one word, given. What He's giving tells us something about how generous and gracious He is. What He's making possible tells us about how generous and gracious He is. Number 6, God is our King, the kingdom. how those present on that occasion who heard Jesus say these words must have pondered the depth of it all after he was crucified. What people like Peter and James and John must have thought about as they realized that the one who spoke the message is the Good Shepherd, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Revelation 19, 16, the blessed and only potentate, Jesus, 1 Timothy 6, 15 and 16. And he is the one who makes it possible for us to be followers of God. He makes it possible for us to be princes and princesses in the kingdom of God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. I'd say there's a lot of value to taking one or two or three verses, kind of seeing how they fit the context, but just really focusing on their message, wouldn't you? Through the years, you'll find yourself blessed by textual study. Just one or two or three verses that you really think about, ponder, meditate upon. It'll help you to praise God and to grow in your Bible study habits. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement. Maybe there's someone here tonight who needs to put on Jesus and baptism based on your faith in Him and your desire to repent and have all of the past sins removed. Jesus is waiting. It may be that there's somebody here that's a Christian that needs our prayers. It may be that there's someone here that would like to identify with us. They want to be part of the church here at Westside. Whatever your need, this song that we're singing is to encourage you to come as we stand.